Perfect is impossible, so let's strive for better and betterer. Tune in for inspiration and mini challenges across the 8 dimensions of wellness: emotional, physical, intellectual, spiritual, vocational, financial, environmental, and social. We make wellness fun and attainable so that you can feel awesome and do awesome. And now, your host, Jessica Jake.
Hi, this is Jessica Jake, and I'm super excited to be here with Katie Farina today of Katie's Healing Kitchen. All her food makes me want to die and eat my phone Instagram feed. And I'm so happy to have you here, Katie. Thanks for joining.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited, Jess.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us how you got into cooking in this way?
Yeah, for sure. So interestingly enough, I actually grew up in a very culinary family. My dad's written 2 cookbooks, and as a kid, we grew up in the farmer's market industry. They sold fresh pasta and bread at the farmer's market. But I was never really interested in food. I kind of went on my own way. When I was 17 or 18, my parents opened a restaurant here in San Diego. Still didn't really care anything about food. Went off to college. I was studying social work. And I think it was my second year in college, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And just seeing her go through that whole experience of feeling so out of control of her own body made me realize that there has to be a better solution. And so I'm not someone that's good at science or math or anything like that, but I started looking at recipes and looking into health and food and all that kind of stuff. And I started reading a lot of different books and really realized that there's a huge connection between what we put in our bodies and disease and just our overall well-being. And so through that, I realized that, hey, I actually do like cooking and I like to be really creative. And so it kind of leaned me towards veganism, and then I just became obsessed and haven't really looked back yet. So that's kind of how I got started. And we have a cooking school here in San Diego called Katie's Healing Kitchen, and we teach 100% plant-based cooking classes that are also gluten-free, refined sugar-free, and really just focusing on using food as medicine. So every ingredient has a purpose. It's all organic, yet still being delicious.
Great. And do you get a lot of people coming to class that have specific allergies, or what motivates people to come in and check it out besides it looking like completely amazing?
That's a great question. I have so many people from so many different walks of life. I have a lot of people who are struggling with different diseases. I have a lot of people who come in who are doing chemo or going through cancer or have had a scare. So like maybe it's a heart disease scare or pre-diabetic, anything like that. So I have a lot of people like that. And then I just have a lot of people who want to learn how to cook and eat healthier. And most people actually that come to my classes aren't even vegan. They're just looking to really incorporate more vegetables into their diet.
Oh, cool. So you actually studied the health benefits of food in your training, right? Or in your culinary adventures?
Yeah. So I'm self-taught in a lot of ways when it comes to the nutrition stuff, just because I love to learn about, hey, did you know that burdock root helps with this or that kind of thing? But I did study at the Natural Epicurean, which is a plant-based culinary school in Austin, Texas. So we learned vegetarian and vegan cooking, and then we also learned the healing modalities. So macrobiotic, Ayurvedic, and raw. And learning, like you said, about the different health benefits of certain foods for certain conditions and that kind of thing.
Oh, cool. So do you get into the microbiome and prebiotics and probiotics and things like that too?
Yeah. So we talk a lot about all that kind of good stuff, the good gut bacteria, and we really focus on increasing a lot of prebiotics and probiotics in our cooking classes and that kind of thing, because there's so many easy things that people can do, like incorporating kale stalks for prebiotics or incorporating apple cider vinegar for probiotics. So a lot of easy, cheap things that you can add to your diet.
Wow. Yeah. So do you drink apple cider vinegar? I saw different things at Health Expos, like having shots of these things or shots of pickle juice, or do you incorporate it into a dressing or something like that?
You know, honestly, Jess, you can do either or, and any way you can get it into your diet is awesome. I usually recommend, especially if people are having any kind of digestive upset or heartburn or anything like that, to take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in a glass of water and drink it with a straw. Because it's kind of hard on your enamel, so you don't want to just drink straight apple cider vinegar. And then just do that before you eat a meal, and a lot of times it will help any stomach upset. And then obviously salad dressings, all that kind of good stuff. I even will do it in a bathtub, just put about a cup of apple cider vinegar, and it's a great way to detox. Or if you have like eczema or rash or something, it's a great thing to apply topically.
Oh, wow. So that's interesting. So you mentioned people coming to you who had a scare or have been diagnosed as pre-diabetic or with cancer or undergoing chemo. Do they see other benefits like this? You're saying it's helping with eczema. Like what they might come to you for one reason and then do you hear about, you know, things that they were surprised happened along the way as they started changing their diet and lifestyle?
Totally. The number one thing that I hear is, I didn't realize I could ever feel this great. And a lot of times I think people can be really overwhelmed by the idea of going plant-based or not even that, just like I said, incorporating more vegetables into your diet. But when you see a different way to do it or a more creative, interesting way to do it that tastes delicious, you don't feel like you're sacrificing anything. And it tastes great. And people are always surprised how much better they feel when they eat cleaner.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way myself. And I noticed when I was really young and I decided to go vegan, and I did read about the nutrition aspects of it before I did it because my mom was so cute. She told me to read a particular book by a certain doctor. And I thought I was going to be limiting myself. But in the end, it actually expanded my horizons because I was then exposed to foods I never had before, like sushi, avocado rolls, Indian food, Lebanese food. So do you feel like you see those kind of the same kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say skeptics, but the same kind of thinking that I'm giving up something, but then like people realizing like they actually didn't give up something. They actually just have this infinite world of new amazing choices.
Oh, absolutely. It's really interesting because when I first met my husband, his favorite food was buffalo wings. And so, you know, me trying to get him on the straight and narrow, I would make cauliflower wings. And it was just like, he was just shocked that it was made out of cauliflower because it had the exact same taste, texture as traditional buffalo wings, but it had all the health benefits. So there's so many easy swaps that you can do, taking things that most people love, like pizza or burgers or ice cream or whatever, and making them not only vegan, but healthier and using real ingredients. So it's really fun.
Yeah, it is. And even if you don't go 100% plant-based, because I read a book for my dogs, it was called Nutrigenomics. And they were talking about how, you know, dogs don't need cauliflower, they don't need blueberries, but it'll have those same anti-cancer effects as it does for us. And so my dogs actually love cauliflower, broccoli, blueberries.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so even if it's, I think the more healthy you eat and the more you change your lifestyle with a wellness focus, the better off you are. But by no means would I push 100% from the get-go. So there's definitely exciting foods for people who still eat meat to try and get some of the, reap some of the health benefits and avoid some of the consequences. So can you tell us a little bit about your mom's experience? Did you end up cooking for her and how that went?
Yeah, so she's doing really, really good. I think she's been cancer-free for, gosh, almost 10 years now. And she has just totally embraced this healthy lifestyle and loves it. And every time she goes to the oncologist, they say, she's doing amazing. And she always likes to remind me that her doctors say that she has a liver of an 18-year-old. So she really has adapted this lifestyle and feels so amazing and is just so healthy and has really become a spokesperson for how diet and exercise can really make a difference when you are either diagnosed or after diagnosis and that kind of thing. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, I've read some things on both of those relating to cancer, as well as there's a great organization out here called Be Well Therapy, and they do a yoga for cancer recovery class and certify yoga teachers to do that. It's basically helping people shut off that stress response and sympathetic nervous system and get more into the parasympathetic, which then lets your immune system turn itself back on. So it's amazing the mind-body connection and how lifestyle can really put you in a better place if you're facing a disease. So that's awesome. So you mentioned people saying they never thought they could feel this great. Are there any other benefits that you've heard or continue to hear from people as they change what they eat?
So many things. A lot of times, I think the most common things that I hear about are no more headaches. So many people, I think, just really suffer with migraines. And a lot of times, the excess sugar, dairy, highly processed fats can really lead to that. Also, a lot of people really struggle with like eczema and psoriasis. So sometimes getting rid of these high allergenic foods has really made a huge difference. Yeah, feeling great, you know, skin clearing up, hair growing thicker, all the good things that us women want. So yeah.
Cool. In addition to gluten, do you find that people have other allergies? Like what are the most common? If someone thinks they have a food allergy, what else would you maybe advise them to cut back on and see if they feel better? I mean, sugar, obviously, gluten was another one you mentioned.
Yeah, dairy is a huge one. Dairy can wreak havoc on your gut. It can wreak havoc on your skin. So a lot of times if people just get rid of dairy, they're just immediately going to start feeling better. Most of the world is actually lactose intolerant if you think about it. And so just cutting out that main allergen is really good. And then also getting rid of forms of processed soy. So like, you know, soy protein powder, soybean oil, that kind of thing. And if you are going to do soy, just doing the clean fermented versions like tempeh or miso. So that makes a huge difference. Unfortunately, corn, which I know is everyone's favorite, but that can be a good one to get rid of if you're having any kind of allergenic issues. Yeah, and then sugar. I think that if all people just got rid of sugar, not fruit, but even things like maple syrup or agave, people would just feel a lot better in general.
Yeah, my daughter just did an elimination diet that I think was pretty much everything you mentioned. it was giving up soy, corn, dairy, gluten, and sugar. And in the end, and then you're supposed to slowly introduce things back so you could pinpoint what it was that was getting you. But when she tried sugar, not only did it not go well for her, but she said, you know, it was true. When I quit sugar, sugar quit me. Like she does not even like it anymore.
Yeah. It's really interesting that you say that. I did it because I was just a total sugar addict and not someone that was, you know, going and getting Dunkin' Donuts or anything that like that. But I was just, you know, making my gluten-free baked goods with coconut sugar and making peanut butter cups with maple syrup and all those delicious, healthier versions. But when I did a strict 2-month sugar detox, it's like I've just lost the desire for sugar and it's been amazing because I just, once you cut something like that out, you almost lose a taste for it. Yeah. Just like your daughter.
Yeah. So speaking of my daughter, do you take questions from listeners? Because I have one here who has a question.
Yeah, for sure.
Hi, Katie. My name's Jade.
Hi, Jade. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's so great to meet you. I was actually just, I happened to be home for my lunch break, and I just made myself a bowl of rice, lentils, eggs, and like 2 or 3 fistfuls of fresh spinach.
Oh, yum. Delicious.
And so as I was listening in, I was like, wait, I have some questions for her. So my first question is, you mentioned that you made a cauliflower replacement for your partner's favorite food. What do you think are the top 3 most fun replacements that you've done like that?
Ooh, that is such a good question. We have done so many fun stuff. So one of the top things that comes to mind is we'll do jackfruit. And so we'll shred jackfruit and we'll simmer it in barbecue sauce or teriyaki sauce. And we'll create, you know, like little sliders to take on that pulled pork type meat flavor without any of the ramifications of using animal meat. So that's a really fun one. Cauliflower, the sky is the limit pretty much because you can use cauliflower to really take on any kind of chicken flavor. So we'll do obviously the buffalo cauliflower wings. We'll also do these really good kind of like chicken nuggets, but we just toss cauliflower and nutritional yeast and salt and spices, and it creates like a cheesy mix. And then I think this is probably, everyone knows this one, but using frozen bananas as ice cream replacement, just blending it with a little bit of either coconut yogurt or almond milk or something, and it creates a really great, similar soft serve type consistency.
Oh, I'm going to run to the store and pick up some bananas today. Thank you.
Yay!
I think that was definitely three or more, but either way, I wanted to ask you why you think there's so much variance on information out there and misinformation and people saying different things. Even if you can make a comment on some of those philosophies that say all meat diets are healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really great question. And first of all, I always like to say this, that every person is so uniquely different that maybe veganism works for me, but maybe someone else needs a little bit of meat or needs a little bit of something to feel their best self. So everything really works for, has to work for you and, you know, your health goals and that kind of thing. I am really concerned about these super high meat diets though, because a lot of times what they're saying is that eating a high meat diet, you know, low carb, all that kind of stuff, can be good for your health maybe for a couple months, but I'm really worried that there's long-term ramifications of eating that much animal protein. And specifically regarding the paleo diet, I think there's some shortcomings in how it's been implemented, because if you look at a traditional Paleolithic person from thousands of years ago, their diet actually subsisted mostly of plants, nuts, seeds, that kind of thing. And then when they were actually able to kill an animal maybe once a month, they would have meat. So I think it's just being interpreted slightly wrong. But in general, I do think it's good. I like certain parts of the paleo diet is, you know, getting rid of a lot of the processed carbs. So focusing more on like sweet potatoes or sprouted quinoa, sprouted lentils, those are going to be better options than, you know, like a brown rice flour or pastas and all that kind of heavy carbs that a lot of times vegan diets can really, really depend on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thank you for saying that basically a different diet might work for a different person, or it's really up to the individual, because I totally admire veganism and plant-based diets from afar, but I'm sort of I feel like I'm working myself up to that, where now I like to have eggs and even fish sometimes too, but I've definitely almost completely cut out dairy. And that used to be something that I never thought I could do.
Right. And it's so much about what works for you. And I think there's a couple things that we can all agree on, is that getting rid of processed sugars and just eating more vegetables. I think that all diets, if we just really focus on those two things, even if you are incorporating a little bit of dairy or a little bit of meat or fish or whatever it may be, if we can just focus on those two main concepts, we're going to have a much healthier and happier people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So forgive me if this is a silly question, but if it's on my mind, I'm sure it's on listeners' minds too. What constitutes roughly a serving of vegetables? Because I've heard that it's good to aim for 9 servings of vegetables a day. So is that 9 fistfuls of fresh spinach? Does that amount change if I lightly fry the spinach? Is that a carrot? I think one of the hardest parts to wrap my mind around is I have no idea how many vegetables I eat a day.
Yeah. So I want to say, and don't quote me on this, but I want to say that a serving of vegetables is a half a cup of green peas or carrots or something. For a serving of greens, I want to say it's 1 cup. So I wouldn't stress out about if it's cooked versus raw. Obviously, we don't want to like deep fry them. But I would say just getting as many vegetables into your diet as possible. And what's really great too about all those greens is that you can really wilt them down, a little olive oil, garlic, chili flakes, lemon, and you can take 2 bunches of kale and eat it almost in one serving because of the wilting process. And then there's also a lot of times cruciferous vegetables. So we're talking kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. It is a little bit easier for your digestion if you do eat it in a cooked version.
Yeah.
So it's good. I guess I like to say it's good to eat both styles. So, you know, we'll throw in some carrots into our smoothie and spinach, and then we'll have some sauteed broccoli with dinner, you know, just having different cooking styles.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's always good to mix it up and be able to eat the fresh stuff in a pinch if I'm on the go or something like that. I found that to be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever had somebody come up to you and tell you that they've noticed a difference in their mental health from eating healthy?
You know, that's a really interesting point. I have had people say that to me, just kind of the mental fog is gone. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's kind of an interesting topic that there needs to be a lot more research on. Because sometimes when you get rid of the junk, your mind can be clear for once.
Yeah, awesome. Katie, thank you so much for your time. I just have one last question. All of us, it seems like we're on the go, especially here in San Diego. We've all got anywhere from 5 to 7 different things going on at once. Right. What tips do you have for listeners for eating healthy on the go?
Such a great question. This is something that I really am super passionate about, and it's meal prepping. So if you can take a couple hours on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday night and really plan and meal prep, it's going to make your life so much easier. And it doesn't take tons and tons of time. You can do a lot of shortcuts by pre-spiralized noodles, by pre-made pesto, salsa, all that kind of stuff. And then you're really just putting everything together. And if you do that, you're going to feel great. You're going to save money. That's what a lot of people don't think about, is you're saving a lot of money when you have your meals all prepped out, and you're going to be a healthier person. So doing that, also either making your smoothies in advance, doing like little green smoothie packs, throw them in the freezer. And then when you're ready to have a smoothie, just empty the contents with some water or almond milk. So just doing a lot of those things that go along with meal prepping is really great. And if you're in the San Diego area, we do a lot of meal prepping specific cooking classes. So if you need more ideas, that's really fun. Or also Pinterest. If you put in clean eating meal prep on Pinterest, you're going to get a million and one ideas. So,
well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Katie. I'm going to toss it back to Jess now, but it's been so fun talking with you. And thank you for...
Oh, yeah, you too.
Yeah, thanks for your thoroughness.
Oh, for sure. Thanks.
So starting on episode 6 or whatever the next episode is, Jade will be the new host of the Better and Better.
Yay, she's awesome.
and you actually touched on a bunch of things I wanted to bring up, because I saw a lot of your meal prep posts on Instagram. So that is fantastic. And we also like to do challenges. Do you have any ideas for a 2-week challenge for our listeners?
Yeah, I would say, going back to the vegetable one, just trying to add 5 different vegetables every day. So not just doing 2 servings of spinach and 2 servings of carrots, but picking out 5 different vegetables every day and trying getting a serving in kind of a fun and creative way. Whether it be spiralizing or pureeing and adding to a muffin mix or anything like that. So just trying to get 5 different veggies in every day, I guess.
That's a great challenge. I think that would be one that's fun for kids too, if anyone listening has kids as well. Nice. Yes. That's perfect. Thank you. So what I want to know, and we'll put this in our show notes too, is like where we can find you. So I know in San Diego, people could actually meet you face-to-face and take a class with you. I know you have a website on Instagram. So where should people go? Because honestly, everybody, you have to look at her stuff. I was looking at it last night. I thought it was full. I saw some picture of a meal, and I was just like, literally like, oh my God, I want to eat that right now.
Well, Jess, I'd love to have you in class anytime as my guest. So you let me know if there's a class you want.
Excellent.
But my website is great. It's just katieshealingkitchen.com. And then if you want to tempt yourself, my Instagram is Katie's Healing Kitchen. And we do a lot of really fun stuff, and we share recipes and all that kind of good stuff.
And that's with an I-E.
Yes. K-A-T-I-E. And then S, Healing.
Fantastic. Anything, any other tidbits of advice before we sign off? Any final bit of inspiration?
Yeah, I guess I would just say eat real food and you'll feel the difference.
That's perfect. Real simple and perfect. I'm writing it down. But yeah, it's so simple, yet we make it so hard.
Yes, we do. We overcomplicate it.
Myself included sometimes. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. We will be putting the show notes up, and be sure to check it out, everybody. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you, Jess. You're wonderful.
Thanks for listening. Show notes are online at betterandbetterer.com. Find a buddy to try out this episode's challenge. We want to hear how it goes. So hit us up on Instagram at betterandbetterer.